On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Well, hi, welcome to the program. I want to start the show today a little bit differently, because it's a comedy show, kind of, in a way, maybe not. But this is just weighing on my mind too much, and I want to get out of the way, and maybe it's the way you feel, maybe it isn't, I don't know. But with this this Parkland school shooting thing, I just, everything has gone too far. And I'm thinking about making America great again, and I'm thinking that we're probably going in the wrong direction, that the hat should be burned at this point. In love. Not burned in hate, but burned in love. There is no reason in the entire world why in this country, where we're supposed to take care of each other, and the main purpose of government is to protect us, that assault weapons are for sale to the public. I know the Constitution, in that wonderful amendment, says that we have the right to bear arms, but it isn't specific to weapons of mass destruction. We actually have invaded countries because they had weapons of mass destruction, the ability to take out large numbers of people at once. We call that terrorism. If someone from another place comes over to our country and does this, we call it terrorism, and we do everything we can to stop it. We restrict flights, we do background checks. We tail people. We do everything we can to keep an eye on people from other countries that would perform acts of terrorism. We don't do that here. Somehow we get a pass. People that have the ability to commit mass terror and mass killings, somehow in this country we don't really even talk about that. It's the ones that come from other countries that we call terrorism. Sometimes you homegrown your own tomatoes. And in this particular case, in this Florida deal, and may I say, Florida's gun laws are very loose. You can buy a gun in a candy store probably there. Very loose gun laws in Florida. Check it out. It's the case. Here's a student who had not only a questionable background, the police apparently had visited his home 39 times in the space of a short number of years. That's a lot of times. The kid went on social media and had pictures of himself on there, brandishing weapons and guns and pistols. And by the way, one of the pictures on his social media was actually holding a gun against his chest with a Make America Great Donald Trump hat on his head. I'm not going to say any more than that, as far as that's concerned. There was no question. Everybody in the school knew that this kid was trouble, that this kid was violent. He had disciplinary problems to the point of expulsion from the school. Posted on his website, posted on YouTube that he was going to become a professional school killer. You couldn't yell warning louder if you tried. So what happened here was the carrying out of what this kid had intended to do for many, 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 many months ahead of time, and perhaps many years. Was he mentally ill? Probably. Was he socially ill? Definitely. Is that an excuse? No. It's not a license to kill. It's not. I, if you want to have a handgun and you want to go out and shoot cans off of a ledge in a controlled area, you have a right to do that. If you want to own a handgun to protect your family, you have a right to do that. You want to go hunting, you have a right to do that. As much as I'm against it, because I don't see deers and other woodland creatures packing pistols in order to protect themselves. But for some reason, this is what we do. But you have a right to do that. It doesn't mean that you have a right to have an assault weapon, to have a weapon of mass destruction, to have a weapon that fires off rounds so fast that nobody can stop it, and then you can kill. The purpose of a gun is not to make soup. The purpose of a gun is to kill, to end one's life, unless you're shooting cans off a fence. But then you could throw a rock. Do the same thing. The purpose of a gun is to kill. One would say the purpose of a gun is to protect. Okay, fine. To protect yourself with a semi-automatic weapon, with a machine gun? Protect yourself from what? We didn't have machine guns. We didn't have semi-automatic weapons when this Constitution thing was put together back in 1789. This amendment. As I said, you would get the gun, you would fire a bullet, and you would say, hold on, I'll be back in 10 minutes, I have to reload. That's what we had. We had muskets and stuff. There were no such things as these bump stocks and these semi-automatic weapons. They didn't exist. It wasn't in the mind. We didn't even know what that was even possible back then. That wasn't the intent. Weapons of mass destruction is what a semi-automatic rifle is. They should be banned. Totally. Totally. No one's going to take away your handgun. No one's going to take away your single-shot rifle. But they will take away your semi-automatic weapons where you can kill a lot of things very, very quickly. Background checks. President Trump wants to relax them. He wants to say if you have a concealed weapon license in one state, you can drive anywhere in the country and still conceal your gun, whether that state has concealment laws or not. Just like a driver's license. It's not like a driver's license. You can legally now in 35 states buy a gun, even a semi-automatic weapon, but a gun. You can buy a gun, and then you can gift it to somebody else. Hi, Bob. Happy birthday. I'm going to give you my gun. Why, thank you, Joe, but I don't have any background check. You don't need it, Bob. Here you go. Here's a gun, man. Now it's your gun. You don't have to report that you gave that gun to somebody else for ownership. No background check involved in gifting a gun to somebody else. No background check. 35 states, perfectly legal to do, and you don't have to report it to anybody. You're giving a gun to somebody that doesn't have a gun license, but it's okay in 35 states. We can do a lot of stuff here. It's not going to stop every violent act and every act of homegrown terrorism. It's not. Could it reduce it? If there's a chance that it could, then you do it. Because it's that serious. You ban weapons of mass destruction. And mass destruction is semi-automatic weapons and automatic weapons and bump stocks and all that kind of crap. And if you don't, I remember President Trump saying that if the Democrats didn't vote for some bill, that they would have blood on their hands. Donald, if you don't start becoming smart as far as these children being scared to go to school all across our country now, that lockdown drills in schools because it's very possible anybody could enter the building and start shooting kids in a mass murder sense, so we have to have drills against that. Donald, if that's okay with you, then you're going to live with those consequences. It just doesn't make sense to me. What does make sense is there is a very powerful lobby group called the NRA, the National Rifle Association. They contribute huge amounts of money to Republican campaigns. They always have huge amounts, to the point where if they didn't do it, it would be impactful, to the point where the NRA actually makes threats to many of these politicians that if you don't see things our way, the funding for your campaigns will be curtailed. That's how we run our country, ladies and gentlemen. That's how we run our country. It's not about you. It's about how much money can be raised or campaign funds and who you have to lick whose asses with whose tongues. That's what we care about. Because there's no reason that these people can't go to Congress now or tomorrow. These congressional leaders can't sit down and say, okay, enough of this crap. Bump stocks, illegal. Background checks, a new set of rules. Semi-automatic weapons, dangerous. Got to do something about this. And these, if these Congress people and these politicians said, screw the NRA, we're going to do what we need to do to protect our American people. We're not going to take their guns away. We're going to cut out the weapons of mass destruction. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to show the American public that for a change, we're on their side. And we're not going to load it with other kinds of bills and deals and, okay, let's do the bump stock bill, but we're going to add to it the infrastructure bill. No. Stop with your stupid deals. We're not the American people are not the subjects of deals. You bring up a subject, you vote on it, it is or it isn't. One piece of legislation at a time without other bills attached to it. This is not a game. This is people's lives. These are people's livelihoods and existences in your own country. Because so far, that hat that says Make America Great Again is not worth the fabric that it's printed upon. You as American people, you don't have to call your congressperson, your representative. You can tweet them. You can text them. You can email them. It takes no more than 10 seconds. Tell them you're sick of this bullshit. And I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. You get this done. You get this done now. No more of this crap. We're done with this. We're done with this. If you're going to make America great again, you better do it and do it now. And the president, this Trump guy, stands up in front of the podium and gives his condolences and say that if there's anything we can do to help you through your grief, not if there's anything we can do to change the laws or to make it safer for you, if there's anything we can do to help you with your grief, we will do it. It's a prepared statement. He reads it. You can tell. There's no compassion in his voice when he's reading straight off a teleprompter. You can so easily tell when someone else wrote something and told him to stand in front of a podium and to say it. He's very bad at making it look like it's off the cuff. He's very bad at that. You can tell when he's reading something, and he read that word for word in a very drone, monotone manner. You can tell when he's talking out of his head, out of his emotion, out of his feeling, out of his gut, because it usually involves horrible things. It usually involves violence and anger and calling people names and demeaning them and claiming that they will have blood on their hands if they don't do what he wants. That's the way he really talks. Now, I'm not out to down him, not right now. But let's not play games anymore. The games are over. Write your congressperson, your representative. Email them. Text them. Let them know. You can keep getting money from your NRA all you want, but you ain't going to get my vote. And don't forget this either. And the time to talk about it and to do something about it is right when it happened. Because that's the way America is. We forget things if we just let it go. And then this all happens again. And it never gets resolved. And people lose family members in incredible grief. Okay, let's do a show.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's a Robin Dan Show. Telling you, I'm pissed. I'm just pissed. That's all there is to it. This all comes back at you sometimes, you know. The American public is very lethargic. We just watch the circus unfold in front of us. We don't get involved in the circus act at all. And as I said, you don't have to call people on the phone. You don't have to call representatives. You just text them a little thing. Their numbers, their emails are all available online. It takes you no more than 2 minutes to do this. The more they get stuff from the American public expressing their anger or their concerns, the more, God, you believe there's going to be something done about it. Okay. And again, if you love guns and you want to own a gun, no one wants to take that away from you. It's not about that. It's not about making guns illegal. It's about banning assault rifles and assault weapons. Is your love of guns going to be so intense that you're willing to sacrifice these incidents to happen? Not only to children, you're going to go to a concert? You're going to look over your shoulder, wondering if someone's going to run into the theater and start mass murdering people? Or outside, from a building high above? Or every time there's a parade or a celebration, is there somebody that has one of these assault weapons, is a little unbalanced, a little upset, and is going to take us all out? You're going to live with this in your own country? These are not terrorists. These are your own people. And that must come in concert with doing background checks and taking care of our mentally ill and looking for situations that could be volatile. The police will always say, if you call a police officer and say, oh, I read something questionable about this person. They seem to be going a little crazy and they think they're dangerous. Police often can't do anything about it, but sometimes it can. This is not a fix where it's going to stop everything immediately and that's it. It's to lessen things. It's to make these things a lot less viable, to make them occur a lot less, hopefully not at all, but that's a stretch. It's to make them more under control, less frequent, and not to pump more fuel into them. And this all begins with the person who sits in the White House, who is supposed to be the leader, especially at times like this. This person that wanted to drain the swamp made it about as deep with mud and muck as it could possibly be. I'll never forget one of Trump's rallies during the campaign, the presidential campaign. There were a couple of people in the auditorium or in the convention hall that were, I guess, shouting out or something, which they have a perfect right to do. And Trump actually said on the microphone, I could play it for you now, I actually have a copy of it. He said, you know, some of these people probably want to throw tomatoes. You see anybody who wants to throw something, wants to throw a tomato, you turn around, you beat the crap out of them. And if you get arrested for it, I will pay the legal fees to get you out. This is what a presidential candidate, now a president, actually condoned. If you see something that seems not to your liking, beat the crap out of them, and I will defend you with my money. That alone was enough to piss me off. But there were thousands of things after that to piss me off that continue to piss me off. And the fact that he stands there sometimes and says our country needs more love, compassion, and respect, and that nobody reacts to that? Are you kidding me? All right. That's enough. Thank you. This isn't much of a comedy show, Ron. Not today, huh? You know, every once in a while, you know, Life takes over. We all need to laugh. It's medicine. Laughter is important. It's you can't survive without feeling joy and laughter sometimes. I try to provide that as best I can. But sometimes life gets so heavy that you just got to stop and smell those roses. Sometimes those roses don't smell too good, but there's still a whiff coming off of them, and you have to deal with them. I can't imagine me using more analogies than that in the space of 10 seconds. We have a great guest today, by the way, and it kind of falls into place with what we're talking about. As we go through life, nothing is simple, as has been demonstrated here. Nothing is simple. We are not on the planet by ourselves. Not everybody is like us on this planet. Some people are just horrible people. And they get in the way of us. They don't agree with us. They have different personality quirks than we do. These people can stand in the way of us sometimes to achieve what we want to achieve and the happiness that we want to enjoy. An author joins us today to point out which people are getting in the way of us. People to avoid in life. And it's not a question of not coming across them. It's a question of how you deal with them, because you are going to come across people that are going to try to bring you down. How do you deal with that? And that's what we're going to talk about on today's show, which I guess is apropos under the circumstances of how I opened up this program and apparently continued. You know, people call me grumpy, dopey, and doc, but I'm not really grumpy. I'm just concerned.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Hi, Ron.
Good to talk to you.
Doing pretty good today.
I have been I've been so anxious to speak to you because...
Oh, great.
Yes, because this book is like, I don't know if you just read my mind, but I needed these answers. And
great.
Because they walk amongst us, Bill, and it's a problem. How long ago did you write this book?
Over the last couple of years. So I finished it December a year ago, then we did some edits in 2017. So it's about a little over a year old.
Interesting. Uh-huh. Interesting. Bill has written the book Five Types of People Who Can Ruin Your Life, and I guess he's whittled it down to five, which is good. Yeah, and I concur. I mean, these are the people that most of us find to be intolerable, annoying, and wonder how they gained membership to the planet. Have these people been around you? What was the reason for writing this?
Well, basically, I became a therapist, a licensed clinical social worker, in 1981. So we're talking about 37 years ago.
Ooh.
And after about 10 years, I got interested in the legal problems people had. So I became a lawyer, but I really like solving problems in mediation. So I've been dealing with other people's conflicts for really like 35, 36 years. And I see these patterns and they repeat and repeat and repeat. So rather than helping people deal with them and get away from them, I wanted to write this book to help people avoid getting in the first place.
Are we talking about what we would consider to be personality disorders, those that we would say in the in the social world to be abnormal?
Yes. Yes and no. In other words, there's a lot of overlap with personality disorders, and there's five personality disorders that seem to be showing a lot of high conflict behavior. Mm-hmm. They get stuck in conflict and increase it by blaming other people. So yes, it does relate to that, but it's on a continuum. So you can see signs with people that aren't high conflict personalities because they don't put all their energy into blaming somebody else. Yeah. That's the key thing about a high conflict personality.
Yeah. Have you found that your book has become somewhat consumed by the political world, if I may put that tastefully?
Well, I'm hoping it will be consumed by the political world. I don't know if it will, but it depends. Our high conflict politicians may not see any benefit of this, but the people around them. I've actually done trainings for people. I did a training for legislative staff members in one of the states a couple of years ago. So the people around high conflict politicians, I hope, will get the book for sure.
Yeah. I mean, did you, when you started writing, I guess my question is, to be blunt about it, did you ever think that perhaps a president would actually fit into these five personality types that you're discussing?
It wasn't my original intention, and I actually, when I say I wrote this book in 2016, I actually finished the book in 2016.
Yeah, that's
the
what
ideas I've been working on for 10 years with our High Conflict Institute.
Yeah.
So I didn't anticipate the level of conflict we have today.
Right. So you wrote the book, and then the poster child showed up. All right. Anyway.
Well, I'm always careful not to diagnose people since I'm a therapist.
I understand.
That I haven't met.
I understand.
But if people read the book and reach conclusions like that, I leave that up to them.
Yeah. It's interesting that the five types that you refer to, the narcissists, psychopaths, and the other high conflict personalities, are indeed personalities that all of us have encountered at some points in our lives. Usually at school, junior high school, which is where we seem to be living right now as a nation. But we've all encountered this before, or perhaps in the workplace. So everything that you're discussing is relatable, usually.
Yes, and one thing I want to mention is these are behaviors that really go back to early childhood.
Oh,
you
yeah.
start seeing warning signs of this. But as a therapist, I'm not allowed to actually diagnose people until they're adults, because teenagers and junior high school, for sure, on any given day, are a little bit narcissistic, sociopathic, borderline, paranoid, and histrionic. So we let them kind of settle in. But when they're stuck in that pattern as adults, that's when they might have a personality problem.
Yes. But it is something that we do need to deal with, both in the workplace and otherwise. And the question is, how do you? Because frustration, you would figure that one would say to themselves, I don't need to deal with this kind of thing in my life. I don't need the people with the drama. I don't need the drama in my life, the negativity from them. But yet you can't really run away and hide from it either. I guess that's the crux of it.
Well, that's what I put a lot into the book, was how to deal with people. First of all, is what I call the web method.
Mm-hmm.
Look at their words, your emotions, their behavior, to see if this is someone I really need to steer clear of.
Uh-huh.
And some people are too good to be true. So that's a warning sign right there.
Hmm.
But some make you feel pretty uncomfortable. And their behavior may be extreme. So you want to deal with them. I call it the CARS method: connecting, analyzing, responding, and setting limits.
Yeah.
And it's a way of calming people down. And also, if you're going to get away from them, you want to do it calmly so they don't follow you.
That's true, too. That's a very good point. And it becomes frustrating. I think it does carry on from the schoolyard nature into adulthood. Some people don't let that go. And it does tend to affect one's aura and one's spirit. when they are around you, but you have no choice. For example, in the workplace, it might even be a characteristic of the owner of a company or a manager. They may be successful because they are that way, and it's something that management finds positive about their personality, and that's confusing.
Yes, and what's interesting, like narcissistic HCPs, mm-hmm. high conflict people, right. often target people below them in the workplace.
Yes.
So you may have a boss or supervisor,
mm-hmm.
and the people above them may think they're wonderful because
yes.
they don't see how much
Correct.
That person picks on people.
Correct.
So managing them just briefly is give them a positive statement, you know, thanks for that presentation last week. Hey, I got to go.
Yeah.
So you don't get engaged too much. But also never, ever, ever tell somebody you think they have a high conflict personality
yeah.
or personality disorder. They'll never forgive you and they'll make your life miserable.
And they also won't believe you, I guess.
And that too, they won't
yeah.
argue about it.
Because that goes into the area of delusion, personality delusion too, I would assume.
Well, they really distort and they really kind of create their own reality.
Yeah.
It's not that they're out of touch with the reality, they just exaggerate.
Yeah.
So they may see things in all or nothing terms, see
yeah.
themselves as all good and you as all bad. That's
yeah.
that's a warning
that's
sign,
it.
Too.
I could talk to you for hours, but they don't allow this here. So it's the five types of people who can ruin your life. Bill Eddy is who we're speaking to. The book's available Amazon, I assume.
Yep, everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere you find a book. It's good to read because it substantiates what you felt, and it kind of makes you a little bit more comfortable. Five types of people who can ruin your life. Bill Eddy, read the book. It sounds great. Thank you so much for your time with us today.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, excuse my non-comedic outlook for today, but I'll be back on Monday, and hopefully we'll have a good time then. But I'm telling you, kids, behind the scenes, contact your representatives. If you so desire, if you disagree with me, then certainly don't. But thank you for letting me spout today. I appreciate that. Hopefully you agree with me. But even if you don't, this is healthy. It's kind of healthy. I just want things to be better for everybody. And that's all I think any of us really want. Even gun lovers want everything to be happy and peaceful for everybody. I really believe that, and I know that's the case. So can we start the conversation there? Thanks. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. I wish you peace, and I'll be back with you on Monday. Okay? All right? Cool? Are we good? Are we good? I want to make sure we're good. Are we good? All right, we're good.